Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
We're stopping there because of what the Lord wants to do amongst us this morning. The Lord's going to, he's going to come in power. This is what he's told me. I don't know how that's going to happen and what's going to be the immediate aspect of that. But the Lord's coming in power this morning, and we will need to go back in that place before God with the worship team very shortly. I don't believe I'll be speaking that long this morning. There'll be certain things that need to be said. There's also a few of the normal housekeeping things that we need to do. Well, not really housekeeping, but if God is releasing his power, these are the things that God is releasing his power for. December this year is going to be very significant for this church. And I urge you from the bottom of my heart to be involved in everything that's happening. Sometimes when you're doing silly games and skits and funny songs and, running games for the fun day, you think, where's the spiritual? The spiritual is we are engaging with people. And we are on the edge, we really are, of connecting with many, many more people. I was at a business breakfast this week at Coventry University. I don't normally go to things like that, but I'd got an invitation to go. And I thought, yeah, it will be good for me to engage with people that I don't see very often. I don't manifest in the business world. That's not a very good word, is it? But I'm not there in the business world very often. And you know what was incredible as I went to this place? Every single person I spoke to at this business breakfast knew of the summit. And all of them referred to it as a place of excellence. 80% of them knew my name and knew exactly who I was. It was like, oh, this is weird, because obviously I didn't know them. And from a business point of view, they were all so positive about the effect that this place was having in the town and the success of opening a place like this and it continuing to go. It was nice to get that kind of feedback, I must admit. But it was also really encouraging that here was a whole area of people that I thought we weren't particularly reaching, and yet they all knew something of what we were doing, and it must be said why we were doing it. They very much knew that it was our vision as Christians to be reaching into the community. One of the main speaker came up to me at the end, and she said to me, oh, I so wanted to meet you because what you're doing at the summit has been such a fabulous success in this town. And I thought, how does she know? I didn't know her at all, but that was the general feedback, so positive. And I had a very similar encounter with somebody from the North Yorkshire County Council. Now, when I normally talk about the council, I'm talking about Scarborough Borough Council, North Yorkshire County Council, who had met with me after a chance, I'll do the thing I hate, a chance meeting up at the Stephen Joseph during the week, where Kate and I had gone up to support another local charity's work, Young Carers, and had this chance encounter with this lady who I then met on the Friday, and it was opening up the doors to positive. When she came to see me to see if how they could fit what the council are doing to fund some of the things that we do, because it's making such an impact in our town for such little cost from a council point of view. So keep praying. We've been praying for doors to open up. They haven't opened up yet. If you were to talk to Richard this morning, he'd sort of say, I need it open very quickly. But it is there. God has never let us down. His provision is there. And it was just an interesting walking into that. And I believe it's part of what God is doing right now amongst us. You know, if we're honest, we've had three quite tough weeks in terms of the word that I've brought to you. You know, it's not been an easy, sit comfortable, get blessed type word, has it? A lot of it, I think, has been very challenging. There are people not here today because it's been so challenging. And yet I believe it is God's word. And those people will come round and realize it's part of surrendering to God to enable God to do through us what he wants to do. And we as a people are moving on from bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, to realizing there really is a purpose. You know, when we looked at God being a God's masterpiece, I think we were mostly focusing on being God's masterpiece because we needed that. We needed to hear from God, and as people continue to come in, we need to hear that when God looks at us, he doesn't see grotty, rotten rubbish. He sees a masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece, says Ephesians 2, verse 10. And then the next bit, though, says, created with good works in it for us to do. All right, there is purpose for every single person. Not a cog in the wheel, there is no machine, because we are a living body. We are all essential parts of a living body that enables that body to thrive and change the people around us for the good. Every now and again, if you know anything about a body, we get bits that don't work so well, you know? How many get one of those little sort of caught toenail bits? Tiny little bit in the toenail, you know? It's just a toenail. And it's like, oh, this is so awkward. It's so painful, you know? It's just a small part. Or Claire is sitting very upright this morning because her back is not exactly functioning as God ordained it to function. Get in order! And that wasn't to you, obviously. That was to the issue. Sometimes we just address the issue. We just address the sickness or the disease, never the person. I don't talk to people like that, but sometimes just, cancer, get out! Amen. You know, we just need to use that authority that God's given us. We're not just here to have a nice time. You can be very distracted by our music, can't you? It's fun. You know, a lot of people come and they enjoy the music. We enjoy the music. We like to worship God with a band and enjoy ourselves. But it's all part of being God's people, for a people of mission. But before we move on to that, Brian Ward and Martin Grant, they've just been up north. Sounds strange when you live in Scarborough. As an ignorant Londoner coming up to Scarborough, you know, that felt like there's more England after that. How can there be more England? You know, I kind of knew there was Scotland. Yeah. When I went to university in Leicester, I thought I'd moved to the north. It's quite shameful, I know. But even when I came to Scarborough, it's like, there's so much more England. You know, I had been to Northumbria, but it just felt like that. Anyway, you've been up north. So Brian and Martin, just come and stand at the front here, whether one of you or both of you is going to say something. Hallelujah. Martin, if you just tell people what you did or something that stood out to you in what's been going on. This is not Martin's comfort zone, everybody. Thank you for your obedience. I'll sit down. Then hand it to Brian.
This is what I've learnt from this weekend. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and set the oppressed free. Amen. This weekend, an old man came from America and has just started a fire that is going to burn up this country and Europe. Reform is coming. People are changing. Winter's here, but God's just turned the thermostat up. Yeah, things are going to change.
Amen.
This church is going to be full, and all the other churches around here, and we're going to be one church.
I'm going to interrupt there. This is the text I have for this morning. The Spirit of the Lord upon me. Because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. There it is, ready on my iPad to speak from. Never doubt you hear from God, Mr. Grant.
Yeah, just to set the picture.
Follow that.
There's a conference called The Prophetic Call. I don't know how many of you know Paul Kane, international prophet. Paul Manwaring was also there. He also spoke, Paul and Sue Manwaring, who have constantly been to our church and blessed us with their ministry. And Paul Manwaring sends his love, Paul and Sue, Paul, to yourself and Kate and to the church. They mentioned us in dispatches on the platform, Scarborough, and our church, saying it's one of their favourite churches to come to. And just the family environment they feel when they come here. And 30 years ago, Paul Kane spoke a prophecy that one day he would speak in an Elim church in Sunderland in the UK. That was 30 years ago. Mike Bickle, who is also a well-known prophet, prayer minister over in the States, reminded him on Paul Kane's birthday this year. about this prophecy he spoke of, without realizing that Ken and Lois Scott in Sunderland had invited Paul Kane to come over to speak this year. He even gave the date. It wasn't just in Sunderland, it was in 2017, is what Paul Kane said 30 years ago. And he is an 88-year-old man. And to see him on that platform and to see the anointing come upon him to what he bought blew me out of the water. Thursday night, if you're here, the verse that Paul's just wrote, spoke out, and the verse that Martin spoke out, we're declaring that here on the Thursday night. Paul Kane, on the Friday night, he got up and he's just talking about his birth, because it's something that was supernatural, really, for his mum at the time. His mum was suffering from double breast cancer. She had cancer of the womb, and she had tuberculosis in both lungs. And she was pregnant with Paul at the time. And the doctors sent her home from the hospital because they couldn't do anything else for her. And says, you just need to go home and die. She had a visitation from God. I'm not sure if it's from an angel or from the Lord Jesus himself. And said, you're not going to die. You're going to give birth to your son. And I'm going to heal you. And you need to... She even said to the Lord said to Paul's mum that you're going to name him Paul after the Apostle Paul, because I've got great plans for his life. And so she died at the age of 106. She got totally healed. She went into hospital to give birth to Paul, and the surgeons at the time says, what's she doing here? She's meant to be dead. She was totally healed. Before she died, there was a verse that God had given to Paul's mum to give to Paul at the time. And the verse was Luke 4:18. When that just spoke out to me, after the Thursday night I was here declaring that scripture, this is what... the scripture his mum had given Paul when he, just before she died. Not just was it Luke 4:18, it was 4:18 in the afternoon when we received it. She died 4:18 in the morning of the fourth month of the 18th day. Okay. Very powerful. Paul Manwaring then got up to speak on a Friday evening after Paul Kane. And he said, there's a scripture that God gave me before I came back to the UK. And it was Luke 4. And he read from verse 14, including down to verse 18 to 19. And he says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And God was saying to Paul and to Sue at the time, Manwaring, that they were returning back to the land where they were, but where they belonged to, but in the power of the Spirit. And for Paul Manwaring, that's a new, if you like, God's placed him into a different kind of ministry now as an evangelist for Europe. And so to have these verses coming out at us of Luke 4:18 all weekend, it's just amazing of when Paul Kane stood up and he was talking about the next move of God that we're waiting on in this country is going to be his final, you know, it's going to be one big move, not just for the UK, but for Europe. And he's talking about, he released a lighting the match, wasn't it, Martin? A lighting of the match of what he brought over, of what God had given him. And the reason he told about his mum and the miracles there, because he was talking about an unprecedented work of God that this country or the Europe has never seen before. Unprecedented favor, unprecedented unity, unprecedented healings, the raising of the dead. A move of God will be nothing like that has happened before when Jesus is seen in us. And it's just a fresh releasing, really, or a new release, a setting of fire He saw the dancing flames upon people's heads within the meeting, and upon this nation, and upon the churches throughout this country. And it's just such a powerful time of, it's hard to explain what God has done within us, but I know it's something that's changing me. It's something to be serious about. Of, it's not just about coming on a Sunday or just about having a good life, but it's about seeing our country transformed and reformed before Christ comes again. And so, yeah, it's a powerful weekend. There's other speakers, there's John Glass as well. And again, it's just something that we've been going through here at Kingdom Faith Church, of what God has been doing with us. And he was talking about, don't let the dust of yesterday ruin your destiny for tomorrow. He's talking about shaking off the dust of your feet. He's talking about unblocking the wells that may have been blocked up. The blockages that are caused, he was talking about criticism. He was talking about gossip. He was talking about unforgiveness. To unblock the wells. He said that it's not that the wells were empty of water, but in the days of the Philistines, they stopped the wells up with the rocks and the rubbish. And he said, it's time for the church to unblock your wells because the water's still there, and to allow that water to bubble up and to flow into our communities. Praise God.
Well, praise God. So, this part has become irrelevant, but I'm still going to show you the board because you've had a sneak preview, care of him over there. So I was going to ask you this question, but you all know the answer now, so there's not much point going in groups and discussing it, is there? What is Jesus' manifesto? A manifesto is a declaration of purpose and intent. Okay, we're used to very dubious manifestos in terms of political parties trying to say what they're going to do and fulfilling very little, perhaps, of what they've put in their manifesto. That's a common view. Actually, I spelt it wrong, but don't worry, I think. I can't remember now. But anyway, that's irrelevant. What is relevant is that God's manifesto, or Jesus' manifesto, is one that is totally and utterly true and totally and utterly is fulfilled. Okay? And of course, this manifesto is this verse from, or verses from Luke chapter 4. If you've got your Bible with you or your electronic Bible with you, you haven't, I'd highlight those passages, because this is something we want to live and breathe over the next few weeks as God gives us deeper and deeper revelation. You can read these verses this morning and get something out of them. But if you keep going back to them in the next few weeks, God will speak more and more and more and more to you about what they mean for you. Because that's the way the Word of God works. It's seed, it's life. It's not like reading Pride and Prejudice, you know? Not that I have, but or even The Lord of the Rings, you know. But it's not like reading that. That's just a book by a person. This is a book that's inspired by God. It is the Word of God, and Jesus was the living example of that. And he came to demonstrate this and say, this is what, you know, to say, this is what I'm here for. This is what my manifesto is of the reason I have come. And you get this account here in Luke chapter 4. Now, God told me on Tuesday this week that this is what I would bring on Sunday. I didn't know what you were going to encounter. I didn't know what you were going to encounter. And yes, we did pray through this on Thursday night. And if you were here on Thursday night, I think I said then, I'm pretty sure this is what I'm going to be bringing on Sunday. And it is. It's not going to be a long, complicated word. How does this fit in, though, with what has been us, we've been going through? Because we are, for the power of God to be manifest in us, we have to be that people set apart. You see, if you are if you are full of the power of God, you can actually misuse it. If you've been given great authority and gift in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can step into misuse of that authority. The anointing of God is irrevocable. Once he's given you a gift, you have that gift. And so the people of God, you don't just need the gifting, you need the character, and you need the determination to walk in discipline. And it's not grace. When grace is upon us, grace isn't just something that means we don't have to do anything. Grace is what enables us to do the work of God. I remember once somebody saying to me, why doesn't God answer my prayers? And I said, well, what have you been praying? And they said, oh, well, I haven't. I said, well, there's your answer. What they meant was, why aren't I blessed as much as that person? Why haven't I got that? Why is this going on in my family? And they said, so why isn't God answering my prayers? Well, what are your prayers? I said, well, why isn't God blessing me financially? Well, what are you sowing financially? What seed are you putting in the ground? If you don't give, it's not that God won't provide for you, but you won't flourish in the harvest that God has for you. You say, well, what about healing? What about, you know, why isn't there enough healing? Well, how much healing are you sowing? How many people have you prayed for? It's not that that makes things happen, but it is a planting of seed. It is a planting of faith. And God does operate by faith. It's not just this idea. Yes, God can just sovereignly do, but he's chosen to work through us. It's amazing. Us people that are so good at failing. But if you don't fail, you can't succeed. Every success comes from failure. Failure is awesome. It is, because it's going to lead to success if you don't allow the weight of failure to push you down. And you'll have friends that have been pushed down by the weight of failure. And that's then why we're there, to go alongside them and help pick them up and get going again. Sin is a big failure marker. But it's not that sin is not there to push us into the ground. Sin has been dealt with by Christ. So you need a friend to help pick you up again as you repent. That means change your mind about that sin is okay. And they walk with you to help you get running again. Jesus doesn't intend for us to be weighed down by the mistakes of the past, or even the false mistakes of the past. He wants us to run in freedom. And that's what his manifesto here is about. Now, just to put it in a little bit of context, if we look in the story just before this in Luke, Jesus has just gone through his baptism in the River Jordan under John the Baptist. And if you remember, the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And after that baptism, it says he was led into the desert full of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then he goes through the desert. I think it was interesting, Brian called it... Don't let the dust of the past affect your future. Shake off the dust. Well, if you go in a desert, you get dusty. When you read about deserts in the Bible, it's often symbolic of, as well as actual, it's symbolic of places where you are changed by God. And usually that means, a desert usually means hardship or dust or struggle or things like that. And so Jesus has been through this struggle. Now, in the account we have here in Luke, he encounters the devil and he rebukes the devil using the word of God. And certainly our struggles can involve the enemy. But don't see the enemy in everything. Okay? But then, there's this very interesting phrase, which is where you said Paul Manwaring started. This is the Spirit of God moving across our nation, speaking to all people all at the same time. Because this is where I was going to start today, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee. I'm reading it without my glasses, that's clever. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. It's still a bit blurry. It's not complete healing yet. And news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. Now, what's the difference between this and the earlier bit? I'll just read the earlier bit. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. Jump back to where I was. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Do you spot the difference? Full power. Full power. Nothing that you have gone through is wasted in God. Every good experience, actually, and every trial, every mistake, every forced thing you've been to is about releasing the power of God. Because the only people who can truly walk in the Spirit are those who are broken and are being broken. You say, well, Jesus wasn't broken. He was. And he wasn't broken just at the last minute of his life on the cross, because his entire life he was heading to that. He'd already surrendered to the cross the moment, I suppose in a way, when he was born, but certainly as he grew. He knew. I don't know when he knew in its fullness, but he knew who his Father in heaven was, and he knew why he was here on the earth, in his humanity, as well as in being fully God and fully man, of course. So he returns to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are a people, by the grace of God, who are full of the Holy Spirit. And we see manifestations of miracles and healings and things like that in people's lives. And we see people not healed, and we see people struggling too. And we're currently, as we have seemed to have been for ages, battling financially as a church. It's like, come on, God. And yet he's saying, come on, Paul. We saw a miracle of God's provision this year. Do you remember? I think it must have been, would it have been March, 6 months into the year? I shared with you the state of our budget as it was at that moment. Now, I haven't got the exact figures in front of me, but so they'll be slightly rough. But I do remember at that time, our budget was £20,000. That's not an insignificant sum, is it, in a group of people our size? Was £20,000 short of what we'd expected it to be. Do you remember that? That was 6 months in. So if we had continued it exactly the same way, by the end of the year, we would have been £40,000 short, which is why Richard now got grey hair. Or a grey beard, anyway. It's a good job he's my friend, or at least he was. The amazing thing was, and I spoke on giving, very key talk, I think, because it was a challenge to me as to you. There's certain things that I've always found challenging to speak on. One is giving, and one is walking in holiness and righteousness, and like I've been doing the past 3 weeks. So if you think you've been challenged, so have I, because you can't preach anything you're not doing. All right? You can only preach from what God's doing in your life or has done in your life. Otherwise, it's just empty. It's just there's nothing there. You know, it's just theory, really. It's not that you can't get anything from that, but the power is not there. And I spoke on that, and the response from the church was amazing. And there have and we went into Days of Favor in September, and we saw some great breakthrough there as well. But of course, September was the next financial year. At the end of that financial year, because it ends in August, we were still short. But you know how much we were short in the end? We were short by 16,000. And you think, oh, that's not good. If we'd continued the same, we would have been 40,000 short. So actually, it's an amazing story of provision, of pulling back from that sort of, you know, and that's awesome. And you say, well, why haven't we? And then Days of Favor, we really took on praying until breaking through. I think for me, Days of Favor was almost in World War II terms, it was a D-Day moment. We invaded Europe. We'd established the final battle of taking back from the enemy. But we hadn't got to Berlin. All right, and it's a bit like that right now. We're still moving across Europe, claiming back from the enemy. He's still trying to sneak in and steal from us around the corners. So let's stand firm, church, in our own walk with God, in our own giving, in our own lives, in our own receiving, in our own lives. Stand firm. Do not accept less than God's best in your life either. We're going to fight. We're going to pray until, because we have victory and we're not allowing for anything else to be settled in our lives. And that's what you get from this manifesto. We're nearly there. He was teaching in their synagogues and everyone praised him. Now, I think that's really interesting too. Jesus returns to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, but the first thing he does is not miracles. He preaches in God's congregation. And that is why Sunday mornings and times like this is so important to all of us. Because whoever stands up here, it is often me, because that's the prime calling of what God has given me to do here in this church. It's not me next week, though. We stand here, and we believe by the grace of God that what comes is a message from God to us, to feed us as a congregation. Because it's from the Word and the Spirit together that this nation will truly be changed. You can't have just Word and you can't have just Spirit. It's an old cliche of, if you have just the Word, you'll dry up, and if you have just the Spirit, you'll blow up. You have to bring the two together. And there's a lot of truth in that. You know, if you're just running away with everything the Holy Spirit you're doing, it's so easy to step into error in the enthusiasm of not checking in the Word, because the enemy will sneak in a tiny little wedge and it will send you off in a direction without you noticing. If you're not saying, is this in God's Word? Is this according to what God has already said? And sometimes we get surprises and we find it is in God's Word, because God refreshes. Martin Luther had one of those moments with grace. It is in God's Word. He had the revelation that led to the Reformation. So, everything you've been through in your life is not wasted. Some of you have been through some really terrible things. Probably all of us have been through things that have really stressed us and worried us and made us fearful and anxious. But all of these things, we come out of them in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what coming out of the desert is about. That's what God is going to remind us of as we encounter Him very shortly. It's not that He's not here right now. He is. He's moving in our hearts right now. He's bringing revelation to individuals right now. He's bringing a determination to have the fullness of God. This is what keeps coming back again and again and again and again and again and again and again, isn't it? That God has said to us, you can have the promised land, take it. Some people think in the New Testament is just a kind of lie on the bed and God just does everything. No. Why do you think we have the stories in the Old Testament of the people of Israel taking the promised land? What they did in a physical way, we have to do in a spiritual way. But that means even when we're taking the land spiritually, the promises of God, taking hold of all the promises that He's given us in His Word, we still have to defeat the giants that are in the land, as the Israelites put it. We still have to take the towns. The walls still have to come down. The leaders of the opposition still have to be defeated. We still have to take it, even though it has been said to be ours. The promised land belonged to the Jewish people. The first time they got there, they said, we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb stood there saying to the people, we can't do it. God said, it might not look like it, but we can. And the people said, no, we can't. So they wandered for another 40 years in the desert. I don't want to wander in a desert anymore. This is not a time for us as the people of God to be in a desert. But it does have to be a time when we say, okay, we'll march around Jericho. We'll take the city of Ai. We'll take the other cities. We'll stand there with our spear. We'll stand firm together. We will march together. And we'll take the land that God has given us. This land of God's promises here in His Word. When we were grafted in to our father Abraham as part of the children of Israel, that we would be able to take hold of all the promises that God was going to speak over His people as our inheritance. We had to be shown that humankind could not do this without God. So God, in His grace, actually allowed people, the Israelites, to live by law. Because under the law, they were given everything they needed to be right with God. They had everything they needed in terms of instruction. And of course it fails dreadfully. And God had to show people, you will not succeed in your strength. You have to be restored by me. The sacrifices that you make are only but temporary to show you that a sacrifice had to be made once and for all of a spotless lamb called Jesus to enable you to be restored in relationship to me. But even under grace, the incredible thing is, we still fail. But the restitution, if you like, the reconciliation, is with Jesus. We come back to Jesus. It doesn't matter what other people think about you. What that matters is what God thinks about you. There might be some people that are unpleasant or believe wrong things about you. I've certainly had that over my life. I'm sure you have. We need to get to the point of saying, actually, that doesn't matter. All that matters is what my Father thinks. That's good. Because if you live according to God, you will struggle with reputation at times. There will be people used by the enemy that will besmirch your reputation. That's an old word. Besmirch. Didn't even know I knew that one. So he goes into the synagogue to preach the word in the power of the Spirit, because as we preach the word by the Spirit, the power of God is released. So he stands up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Luke uses a very interesting word for the unrolling of the scroll. It's not the normal word that's used. There's a word that is normally used for the unrolling of a scroll in the Greek. And the word here is unrolling, but it's more commonly used of the bandages that you would unroll before you treat somebody and make them well. Just a little. I just like that. Because Luke, of course, is the doctor. And he knows that this word is the beginning of healing and of a release. Because Jesus' manifesto is about taking everything of the old and making it for real, if you like, in the people's lives around. So Jesus stands up and he reads this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Car, wouldn't we like to know what he said after that? It just said he began with that, and then they're all amazed at his gracious words, and it's not here. Luke! And he goes on and talks about how it won't be just for the Jewish people, but for all of humankind. And that's when they get angry with him, because they want to keep it to the Jews. We still encounter that amongst God's people today. When people talk about sharing it with those outside of our group, with those who disagree with us, with those who are not yet right with God, you get people saying, "No, this is just for the people of God." And Jesus reminds us, it's for everyone. For God so loved the world, not just the religious ones. So, how do we jump from that to what God is doing in us today? Because this is Jesus' manifesto of what is about to be unlaunched. And when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," of course, he is referring to the Holy Spirit that has filled him with his baptism, and that has filled him and come back when he's come out of the desert in that power of the Holy Spirit. And that is the same Holy Spirit that fills his body, because that's what had happened. His physical body, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, still fills his body today. It's the same Holy Spirit on Jesus at this point that is the same Holy Spirit upon every person that believes in Jesus Christ sat here right now. So when Jesus can stand and say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," so every single follower of him coming can stand and say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Because we are hidden in Christ and Christ is in us. We are so identified with Christ in that resurrection of his and the sacrifice that he made on the cross, that God sees us as his body filled with the Spirit of Christ. So the call that is upon Jesus here, when Jesus gives this manifesto, he's not saying, "I'm just here for this." He's saying, "My body is here for this. Everyone that comes after me, this is the same manifesto that will be upon them, not because they are super good at doing something, but because they are my body. They are my people. They are my family. They are my community, and they will walk in the same thing." And so Jesus continues, "Because he has anointed me." And you are anointed. Amen. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you are anointed. It's not just about having another meeting and laying hands, although that is an extremely important thing to be doing to one another. The anointing from God comes every day. His mercy is renewed every morning. Well, what do you think his mercy is? It's the power of God coming upon you. It's that Eastern way of looking at mercy, which says it's something that you are filled with and imbued with, because the mercy of God is the Spirit of God. So when his mercy is new every morning, the Holy Spirit anoints us afresh every single day. We are encouraged to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Sure, there are times of important anointing, but we are to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just that sometimes we shut ourselves off a bit, or we go dry because we get lost in the hardship of life, or the busyness of life, or the television set. It could be lost in anything, and we sort of step aside from that anointing that's pouring out. I don't actually need that right now. I'm too busy. I've got a lot to do. I've got a family to care for. I've got a work. I've got a job to do. But the anointing is for the family. The anointing is for the job. Because the way people are going to be saved is when they look at the people of God. We are the Bible to people. We are the first Bible people will read. Which is why God has been speaking to us in the way he's been speaking to us. We are to be that people set apart. And you say, well, we're not that. We're not good enough. But we're getting better. We would improve. That is God's message. By grace, we will continue to be changed from glory to glory. So, he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Let me read the rest of it for a minute. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Everybody listening to him, the Jewish people, would have realized that that was referring to the year of Jubilee. They'd have also think, why have you stopped? Because it doesn't stop there in Isaiah. The next bit is the day of the judgment of God, or the day of God's vengeance. Why did Jesus stop there? Because that's where we are. There will be a final judgment, but we are in a time of favor and of people coming back to God. We are not yet at that place of judgment, but we will be there. Every person that has done things wrong will be judged unless they have said, I've done it wrong. I turn to you, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, for trying to do things my own way. I want to come through that door to be with you and to be restored into a relationship with you as my Father. Unless people do that, they will not be with him for eternity. It is the only way, but it's there for every single person. Sometimes people say, well, what about those who've never heard? Anybody that says that, the answer is, but you have. Of the person you think who's never heard, that will be between them and God. But remember, God knows every single person perfectly. So if someone will respond to his message, he will make sure they will hear it wherever they are. Even if no Christian, there we go again, turns up to visit them at any point, an angel can appear to them, Jesus can appear to them. It's just that his normal is for human beings to tell others about the good news. No one will ever be able to say at the end, well, it wasn't fair. Because it will be completely just and horrific. Because there will be those who are not there. That's the role of us now. But this to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor, they would have recognized and have recognized it as being associated with what is called the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee is an interesting puzzle. If you go and discover and talk about it, you'll find differing opinions on what it is. What we do know for sure is that God ordains in Leviticus that every 50 years there will be a year called the year of Jubilee. Now they went on a cycle of 7 years, because they went on the cycle of like the Sabbath is 7 days a week, and then you have the first day of the week, the Sabbath. And they did the same with the years, and then every seven set of 7 years, which is 49, then you have the 50th year of Jubilee. And it was a year for setting the captives free, setting the slaves free. It was also supposed to be a time when property was returned to people. There wasn't a concept of ownership in the same way, and property would be returned. Some will talk about it being a time of debts forgiven. That's a little bit more questionable. But what is also interesting is it's also, when you look at the history of Israel, people think that it's possibly never been done. There are times when we can look in the Bible, like the times around Ezra, and you can think, oh, are they celebrating the time of Jubilee? Are they doing it? It's very interesting. And how they interpreted it was different in towns to in villages. And it was never properly inaugurated. You think, why did God bother telling them about it? Because it wouldn't be properly inaugurated until came the period of the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus. You see, when Jesus was announcing this is the year of the Jubilee, he was saying, this is the time from now on until the time of judgment, of the time of Jubilee, when the prisoners will be set free. When debts will be demolished, in that sense, if you like. But it's about the captives being set free. Those who've been captivated or taken captive by the power of sin, destruction, abuse, and all the things of evil that are in this world. He said, this is now the time. I am here to bring fulfillment of every promise that has been spoken over God's people. And they like that bit. They're amazed by it. If you read it, it's like, yeah, come on, Jesus. And then, they might not have done that because that's not very Jewish, but you know. But then he starts to say, and this is for everybody, because like the Jewish people, and he talks about Elijah and Elisha, but let's not go into that for now. And suddenly he's talking about, and this is going to be for everyone. Instead of them thinking, wow, this is amazing, this is for everyone, they thought, no, it's just for the people of God. And then they start to not like him at all. So much to at one point, they're trying to kill him. It goes from amazement to trying to kill him. The year of Jubilee, or the year of God's favor, is the time when God's favor will be on the people because they will have access by grace rather than by law to all the promises that he has made over the people of God. Because they will be the people of God, both Jew and Gentile, in Christ, full access to every promise by grace, by the blood of Christ, by his mercy and by grace, not by their self-effort. So the power of God means these things that he's just talked about, that the good news will be proclaimed to the poor. Now, the year of Jubilee was announced throughout the land, or should have been, as I said, people question whether it actually ever happened. You were supposed to go around the land with the ram's horn, the trumpet, blowing the trumpet, announcing that the year of Jubilee was here. And then the captives would be set free. So when he's using the word proclaim, they're seeing a very visual thing in their minds of these priests going throughout the land, blasting these trumpets. Who are the priests today? We're all sat here. Yeah, we are. And this proclamation, it's not just about, you see, they weren't even saying words. They were just making a noise. They were drawing attention. And I think this is important because as we proclaim the good news today, it is about talking words. It's not just about words. It's about being a visual proclamation of what God is doing. And that's what God has been telling us about in these previous Sundays. It's about being those people so we are a visual picture of what God is proclaiming. A place of acceptance, a place of forgiveness, a place of restoration, a place of healing. And a place where the power of God is manifest. The only way for you to see people healed is to pray for people to be healed. The only way for the dead to be raised is for people to pray for the dead to be raised. That's the scary bit. I've only ever prayed for one person to be raised from the dead, and that was my dad. And it didn't work. It was the first time I dared pray that over somebody who had died. I was there in the room alone with him, or his body. And I prayed for half an hour. Maybe I should have prayed for longer, I don't know. But I did try, because I was convicted by this word some time ago. Well, if I never pray, I'll never see it. If I never give, I'll never see God's miraculous provision. He'll never let me down, but I'll never see miraculous provision. If I don't pray, I won't get answers. Now, do not get me wrong, because there are other factors involved, okay? It's not as simplistic as that, but those are still true, nevertheless. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. The people who are poor are the people that don't yet know God. They are poor in spirit. They might have all the riches of the world and yet have a miserable poverty. They are poverty stricken spiritually. Now, it does mean the poor material as well, which is why, you know, Christianity is reached out to people that nobody else is bothered about. And that's absolutely right. But here, really, it doesn't just mean those people. It means everyone, those who don't know me. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners or the captives. This literally means they're the people held at spear point to be set free. It's like if I've got a spear on Ron, he doesn't dare move because I could thrust it in him at any moment. And it's a powerful picture of the effects of sin on people's lives. They become almost paranoid to move, to be free, because it feels like at any moment it could just get worse. And Jesus sets you free. You're no longer a captive with somebody pointing, threatening, that if you do that, this is going to get you. It's removed completely and you are completely free. It's quite a powerful picture. But it's also about dealing with the things that are wrong in our minds and in our spirits and in our bodies and in our family lives and seeing the power of God to transform things. You know, we can be kind to people, we can work with people, we can love people, but really, we want to see the power of God, don't we, transform people's lives.
Amen, yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah, so do I. And I believe we're going to worship in about 3 minutes, that we're talking about that power of God manifesting.
Yes.
As we come to worship God, I really feel that's what we're going to do. Just worship God. It's time for the power of God to come upon us. Not just for us, not just so that we're blessed, but so that as we are healed, so as we are restored, so as miracles and healings happen in our lives, we start to believe for them in the lives of other people around us. Because it's about setting the oppressed free. When I read the oppressed free, I don't know about you, but I really see pictures of people suffering from mental health issues like severe anxiety and fear and agoraphobia and through to things like Alzheimer's and even bordering on other issues. Any issue that is a mind health thing that is restricting that person from living in the fullness of what God created them for. I'm not talking about changing people from something that they already are. You know, sometimes, I always feel you have to be careful talking about people who have been diagnosed with, say, some form of autism or are dyslexic or stuff like that. Now, I've seen people with dyslexia completely healed, but it's not, you've got to be careful you're not trying to take away the gift that is also in them. You know, people like Bill Gates have done quite well, even though they suffer from some form of They have some form of autism. Sometimes it's also about God showing you the way for that gift to work out.
Yeah.
But the basic thing is the same all the time, isn't it? It's about a restoration in people so that they are free to be who God's called them to be. So let's have that worship team forward. Now, the year of the Lord's favor, or the year of Jubilee, was a great time of celebration because of what God was doing through his law amongst the people. We don't have that law, but we do have that favor. So it's a time of celebration. So I think let's stand. I'm not saying this is where we'll continue. And I'm not going to go. We're not going on for a long time this morning. This is just a beginning of God releasing his power. This is the beginning of each one of us. It's the beginning of Michelle Grant going out in power.
Amen.
Right, she works with a lot of people through Community Angels, and she's an amazing woman of God. Her husband's an amazing man of God, and she really helps people and really speaks the word of truth into people's lives. She has a prophetic gifting. I'm sorry to be embarrassing you. You don't like this sort of thing. She has a prophetic gifting, but this is what's now happening: is there is a power of God coming upon you as well, so that you're going to see change much more readily and much more quickly. Okay. A power of God. A power of God. A power of God. Yeah, because it's more than you think. It's more than you think, Michelle. This is what God is saying to you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you.
Amen.
Is upon you. Just the same as Jesus. Okay, I didn't come over here because I felt like coming over here. The Lord led me straight to you to pray over you. Okay? But it's an example for all of us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, Michelle. He has anointed you to proclaim the good news to the poor.
Amen.
The poor in spirit, the poor in being, the poor in material, whatever. The poor, those who lack. Hallelujah. But the power of the Holy Spirit brings the breakthrough. Because after this, the miracles began in the ministry of Jesus. He proclaimed the word, as we proclaim the word here this morning, so that the miracles would begin to happen. And miracles are to come out of this lady as God's Spirit flows through her. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You will set the oppressed free because the Spirit of God will be working in you. Hallelujah. You will see the blind being able to open their eyes and understand the truth of the gospel. Deaf ears will be opened so they can hear that Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there is no other way to the Father. You will set the captives free. Those who are in places of captivity due to what's going on in their minds or their bodies will be set free. Hallelujah. Right now, this is the time to be receiving physical healing as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Claire, that back has to come into God's order. We accept nothing else. Jossie, could you just lay your hands on Claire there? Thank you, Father. The power of God being released through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Coming into a new place of peace in your body. As God has healed your mind in recent days, God heals your body right now. Hallelujah. Power of God coming on you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Karina, God wants you to know that you truly are His princess. Okay, you struggle to think that at times. You think of all the things that other people have said to you, but your Father says, Karina, you're my princess. I adore you. I think you're amazing. I don't look at things that haven't worked out right. I don't look at your failures. I look at your beauty. I look at all the things that you're doing and will do for me. And the power of the Holy Spirit, Karina, is bringing a peace to your mind. So many struggles and pressures and worries and things that you go through. But we declare a supernatural anointing of power of God to come upon you to enable you to overcome more and more and more. You are a success story, Karina, in God. Hallelujah. And God is taking you from glory to glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Never feel that you are somehow less worthy than anyone else in this building. It is a lie from the enemy anytime you think that. You are precious and honored in God's sight. And you are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. His mercy is new to you every single day. Whatever happened the day before, it's gone. His mercy is new every single day. And the power of God is coming upon you right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour upon Karina, Lord. Thank you, Father, for further breakthroughs. Like the walls of the cities came down as the cities were taken in the promised land. I thank you, Lord, that Karina is a soldier in the promised land. She's taking more and more of the promised land. And walls are coming down. Leaders of cities are being defeated in her presence because she is hidden in you. As she marches in front of those problems in her life and in the lives of others, they will be defeated because she is in Christ and Christ is in her. She is a prince of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. If you're in, I know we said worship, but I've just got to go with what the Holy Spirit's doing. If you're in physical pain right now, and you want to be released from that physical pain, come and line up along the front here. There's pain in your body. That's all. No other word. Just pain in your body. Come and stand down the front with an expectation of healing. Hallelujah. Now remember, you're not going to be healed because you're a good person. You're going to be healed because Jesus is the good person. You're not going to be healed because you haven't made any mistakes. You're going to be healed because there are no mistakes on you when they're washed clean by the blood of Jesus. You're not going to be healed because you're good at living in victory. You're going to be healed because you believe in the victor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the power of God coming upon these brave people standing before you right now with an expectation of complete healing in you. Father, we speak to pain in these bodies and say, be removed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We do not accept it. We know that it's there. We know that it happens. But we do not accept it. These bodies are not meant for long-term pain. They're not even meant for pain over a short period. Pain is just a warning to keep us safe, and then it should be gone. And pain that is rooted in sickness and disease, we release that healing into each body here, right now, that each person can be set free from the pain that is in their bodies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we're praying for this pain to be gone in Beth. Okay, it's not supposed to be there. So be removed. Get out, pain. And I release the healing of God into you right now. Now your hips are going to start getting very, very warm. And that's the healing of God coming into them. Is that happening? It's happening, she says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as they warm right up, you should start to feel that pain just to start going away. That warmth is the anointing of God, the healing oil of God, if you like. Hallelujah. Is there any difference in the pain level yet? Yes? How much? If it was up here, and that's none, whereabouts are we? Like almost gone. Okay, come on, let's go. All gone, shall we? Hallelujah. This is the power of God. You be filled with the power of God right now where you are. Hallelujah. Come on, join in here. You release healing. Remember, as you give, you will receive as well. It's time we were giving out healing wherever we are because we're His people. Not because we're super or great or perfect, but because He is. Hallelujah. Beth, where are we? Have you still got any pain? Are you sure? Okay, I want you, does walking make this worse? Sometimes, I just want you to walk up and down. She says she's got no pain, but I wanted to test it. Are you healed? It's all gone. Do something that was painful before, can you? What would hurt? Because we don't want any psychological, half-hearted things. We want just the healing of God. What would hurt before? It's just general standing, and you're not in any pain right now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Ben. You're healed. You can go and stand. Hallelujah. Okay, Beth is just a sign. Every one of you doesn't need somebody to lay hands. I may lay hands on some. I'm just being led by the Holy Spirit. But right now, if we were talking about pain, so if it's an area of your body that's in pain, could you put your hand or hands on it if that's possible for you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shona, could you stay with me? God's going to use you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray for this child of God. Hallelujah. is recovering from a brain hemorrhage and that leaves a lot of pain, that's not God's plan. Are we going to pray until?
Yeah.
Let's reach out then. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the physical healing taking place right now where that brain hemorrhage was there, but the pain has remained as it's been dealt with. And I tell you, pain, get out! You have no place in Meg. Be healed, Meg. The power of God is coming on you right now, and that pain must go. It's trying to hold on. The blood of Jesus has healed you, and I release it. Hallelujah. The power of God be upon you. Just wobbling all over the place here. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, Meg, I can see the Holy Spirit's over you. Are you able to describe at all what's happening right now? I don't think she is, actually. Okay, keep praying. Hallelujah. That pain to completely, completely dissipate. A miracle. Hallelujah. Stacy? Command that back pain to be removed from your body right now. It has no place. It's just a lie of the enemy in your case. It's deceiving you. Hallelujah. And I break the power of the enemy off of your life. Hallelujah. It's a physical thing that he's like aggravating it. And that is broken right now. Hallelujah. And the physical healing is now happening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All pain removed in Jesus' name. How are we doing? Okay, it's better, but it's still there. Okay? Are you ready to pray until? Reach out your hands. Charlotte, there's an anointing on you. Could you come and lay hands on Stacy's back? Just release healing. Just keep speaking healing. Hallelujah. Richard, step up. Laura on the end here basically needs a knee replacement. So, collectively, just reach into heaven and release heaven here on earth. All that knee replacement is there in heaven because God is the creator of knees and all the different parts of them. Hallelujah. Release that. There's another knee being healed right here. Stacy's back's being healed. The pain in Stacy's gone down, but it's not gone yet. That's still true, is it? Yep. Okay. How are you doing? How are you doing? Put your hand on the area yourself. and just say, I command this pain to go in the name of Jesus. Okay, now just walk around the room expecting it to go, and it will go. Okay, just keep walking around. I know it's a bit embarrassing, but it's a bit like Naaman being told to go and bathe in the river. Just walk around on that knee expecting no clicking, no problem. Hallelujah. Be healed in Jesus' name. Pain gone from your body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God coming upon Lizzie right now. For some reason, Lizzie, I see an obstruction. I don't know what that is or how that connects. The moment is pain free. She's just going to go up and downstairs, which has always been a stressor. That's Laura that just went out the door there. Stacy, I believe you're pain free now. Excellent. Okay. God's moving powerfully on Lizzie. She's got a warmth in her body, and we're believing a whole blockage to whatever healing it was she needed to be removed. Hallelujah. This wasn't what I was expecting. I thought we were going to worship, but we're just following the Holy Spirit. If you need to go, you're very welcome. Don't worry about that. You won't be just leaving us. If you want to just stay, we'll just keep praying until we're finished. Okay? But don't just stand there. Join in, because as you join in, the power of God is also going through you.
Thank you.
you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.